Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 15, Resurrection Alive Today. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on April 1st, 2018.
Luke chapter 24, verse 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He's not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day.' And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest: Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen cloths. So he went away amazed at what had happened."
The amazing story of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Wow. What a great story. These people, these men, these women, they were all searching for answers, searching for some kind of meaning out of all the things that had just happened. I guess it's maybe a little hard for us to connect with the story and to kind of imagine how they had been so devoted to Jesus for those 3 or 4 years that they began to know him and began to walk with him and began to see his miracles and see all of the things that he did, to listen to his teaching, his preaching, his ministry, and then to be involved by him into the ministry, to be incorporated in his ministry, because Jesus was a great discipler. He didn't just say, "Do what I say." He said, "Do what I do." And he sent them out to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils. And they had devoted their lives to it. The Bible says they left everything to follow him, because that's the call of discipleship. Jesus is saying to us today, if you want to be my disciple, my follower, all you have to do is deny yourself. That's what everybody likes to do, right? Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Everybody likes to die, right? Especially to what I want to do, to what I like, to what I want to be comfortable at. To die, to take that cross, and then to follow. It's the call to discipleship. It's the call that still rings clear and loud in the hearts and lives of those whose heart is turned toward the risen Savior. But these men and women, they were searching for meaning that day. They had seen people raised from the dead, but little did they think about the things that Jesus had told them about his own resurrection, what would happen to him, how he would be cruelly treated and mistreated and suffer and then die and then rise from the dead. It was the last thing that they were thinking of that morning, perhaps, because really they were going to pay their last respects, these women who were sent by Jesus later to tell the disciples who wouldn't believe them. I think that's the amazing thing, you know. Jesus predicted all these things, talked to them about it, tried to prepare them for it, and they were just like us, totally unprepared for anything, right? So they were searching for meaning. They were fearful. They were grieving. They were confused by all the things that had happened to them. And they were processing. What could this be? What could this mean? How could this happen? Who could believe that? And that morning, they discovered that what Jesus said really happened. He did really come back from the dead. And he came back with the keys of hell and death. What a great day. Praise the Lord. None greater ever in the history of the world. Much later, speaking about the power to break practicing of sin, John would write, "The reason that the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." You see, Satan thought that he had killed the Lord of glory and won the victory. But the Bible tells us that Jesus spoiled the principalities and powers that day on the cross and made a public spectacle of them and triumphed over them in it. And the triumph came when he came out of the grave and he was alive, alive forevermore. And he's coming back soon. But Jesus came back holding those keys of hell and death and bringing victory to the human race. The victory that had been stolen from them by Satan in the garden came back to them when Jesus came off of the cross, into the grave, and back out again. Back from hell with the keys. Praise the Lord. In a few minutes, I'm going to show you how, through the power of resurrection, the last enemy, death, is destroyed. But first, let's do a little search of our own to see if we can find some meaning in this for ourselves. I want you to go to the book this morning, in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, starting with the first verse. Romans 8:1, Paul begins to speak to these Roman believers saying, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." The first victory of Jesus coming out of that grave was that now there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For everybody that believed on him, to those that received him, to those that believed on his name, the Bible says he gives right to become children of God. Awesome. Children of God become brothers and sisters to the risen one. And now there is now no condemnation to you because you're in Christ Jesus. He took care of the sin problem on the cross. Your sins were wiped out, eradicated, totally obliterated, the effect of them, the price for them paid by the one who went to the cross of Calvary so that you could be free to live and serve him in a new way of life. Hallelujah. For the law of the Spirit of life, Paul goes on, in Christ Jesus has set you free from the laws of sin and death. So the second big victory is freedom that comes through knowing and believing in that Jesus who God raised from the dead. Verse 3 says, "For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit." So when Jesus came out of the grave that day, he made a new kind of life possible to those who would follow after him, to those who would call upon his name, to those who would believe on him. A life in the Spirit. A life that's able to conquer the pull of the flesh, the temptations of the world and the devil, a life that has victory through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that same power is available to you, is available to me through his Holy Spirit. Verse 6, Paul says, For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So that's a factor that we've come up against all the time, and we have to challenge in our lives all the time, because there's always this constant tension, this constant pull between the flesh and the Spirit. The Spirit wants to go with God, wants to live for God, wants to serve God, wants to be vibrant, wants to be full of his life, full of his presence, full of his power, but the flesh wants to pull the other way. And so it's a constant struggle, a constant fight. But through the power of his Spirit, we are more than conquerors. Amen? Amen. verse 9, he says, "For you, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you." So, because it takes the Holy Spirit to receive Jesus, and the Spirit of God comes inside of us, it's a life-changing experience. It's like that resurrection from the dead that Jesus experienced is passed on to everybody who believes through the power of that same Spirit that raised him from the dead. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ, Paul says, does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is now dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So recognizing that tension and that fight and that battle, he says, don't worry about it because Jesus took care of it at that cross. And he says that if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. One of the biggest statements of victory in the life of a believer is that that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is bringing life and releasing life in you. That's why you can go day to day and go month to month and week to week and year to year in the power of his Spirit, because that same life-giving Spirit is imparting life into you, driving out sickness and disease, weakness and infirmity, poverty and lack, and every other kind of thing that Satan used to kill, steal, and destroy against humanity. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the one who gives us that kind of life. Verse 12 says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." So we have this not just hope, but this reality that we can grasp by faith, that if I will allow God to do what he wants to do in me, I can live in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And I can put to death the deeds of the flesh, and I can go for the deeds of the Spirit and live for God in a way that's new and vibrant and hopeful and brings blessing not just to myself but to those around me. So let's just take a look at this in a practical way about this resurrection of Jesus. When you think of the resurrection, what do you think about? Do you think about the stone rolled away? Do you think about the empty tomb? Do you think about the risen Jesus? Well, of course, he is alive, and it's a wonderful reality and a truth to take a hold of. Not just to be celebrated one day of the year, but Jesus is alive forevermore. So we could celebrate Resurrection Day every day. Because the reality of that truth is what has set us free. But the greater reality than that is that not only did Jesus die, but we and get raised from the dead, but we get raised with him. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, it says, "Therefore, if any man, or it could be any woman or any young person, is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." If we can just get the reality of that scripture to dawn in our spirits, our whole life will be transformed and changed forever. If we can catch the fullness of that reality, just think, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. You're created after God in righteousness and holiness. So all the pull of the world, the devil, the flesh, all of those things that are counteracting the power and the presence of God in the life of the person are subject to being conquered by his resurrection, but not only his resurrection, but that he raised you with him to be a new creation being. So as a new creation being, you're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ and through the power of his blood and through the words of your testimony. The central truth is that he's not the only one that has been resurrected. We have been resurrected too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, it says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all are made alive." We were spiritually resurrected on the day that the Lord Jesus Christ came into our lives, when we made Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Romans 6, verse 4, it says, "We were buried with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too should walk in newness of life." So when the Bible says that in Him we're a new creation being, what that really means is that we're walking in a newness of life. Of course, you still have the same flesh body that you had before you were saved. And you still have the mind that can go lots of directions, the same as before you were saved. But after you came to Jesus, you're a new creation being, and you can walk in that newness of life because you were buried with Him through baptism into death and raised to life with Him through His powerful resurrection by that same Spirit that raised Him from the dead. So just think about it. When you made Jesus your Lord, the Spirit of God came over you, hovered over you, came inside of you. The glory of the Lord came into your being. The glory consumed all of the old, the nasty, the awful, the sinful person that we were, before our salvation. And that old man died and became a new creation, resurrected with Jesus Christ. The second part of this is that we have an obligation to do something about this. In Romans 6, verse 13, it says, "Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, as your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace." So as a born-again believer, we have a responsibility to recognize the power of His resurrection in our life, and that we were raised to this newness of life. And our responsibility to Him then is to do something. We have to do something. We have to present ourselves to Him as those people who have been brought from death to life. So I believe the only effective way to do that is to get that reality from being something mental to something spiritual inside of us, until it becomes a revelation inside of you that you're a new creation being created after God to live in righteousness and holiness. Life is a big struggle. In fact, there are a lot of Christians, a lot of believers that are really, really living far below what God has for them because they're just involved in a constant struggle and don't have any peace in their hearts or their lives. But Jesus died so that the Prince of Peace could live inside of you, and that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding can keep your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus. That's one of the reasons He went to the cross, because the chastisement of your peace was placed on Him so that you could have peace. Peace that nobody can understand. Not the people around you, not the people that don't believe. I mean, they will never get it. They will never understand you. So if you're living to please them or living to impress them or living to somehow convince them, it's not going to work, because only a person who's received this peace through Jesus Christ can understand what that means to live at peace with yourself and at peace with God and at peace with those around you just because He lives and He's living big in you. The third thing is that you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait to be free from sin, from sickness, from poverty and failure. that goes along with the natural world, because you're free right now. Jesus rose from the dead, and he brought freedom to you. He brought life and immortality to light, the Bible says, which means that he's imparted his life into you so that you could be free. But you might be thinking there, well, if I'm so free, why can't I quit smoking? Why can't I lose weight? Why am I always sick? Why am I always dealing with these things? You know, why are all I having all these problems in my family, etc.? Because there's only one reason, really. It's because we've let Satan convince us that we're still under his power. And he's still holding that stuff over us when Jesus died and rose from the dead to give us victory over it and to put him beneath our feet. You've let him talk you into living as though you're still spiritually dead, even though you've received the life of Jesus Christ. That's why revelation is necessary to come on the inside. How do you get that revelation? Well, the Word says that his Word never returns empty. It always accomplishes what he pleased. It prospers where he sent it. So the first key to that victory is to live in the Word of God. His Word is an expression of his heart. His Word is his heart to you. And when you begin to get that inside of you, something changes. Something changes on the inside of you. And that renewal on the inside begins to transform your mind. Your mind becomes renewed. Your thinking begins to change. And as your thinking changes, then the Bible says, as a man thinks, as a man purposes and thinks in his heart, so is he. As your thinking begins to change, your life is transformed into this new kind of creation being that God really recreated you to be. It begins to dawn in your spirit that, no, I'm not that sinner anymore. I was a sinner, but I'm now saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I now have victory over sin. I have victory over death. I have victory over all the other things that Satan has thrown at me, because I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. And he loves me, and nobody can separate me from his love. So you can try to convince me, you can try to cajole me, you can try to harass me, but I have victory by the blood of Jesus. I have victory by the authority of Jesus' name, and I'm not going to be moved off of it no matter what. Paul said, none of these things move me. Now, he went through all kinds of trials, troubles, tribulations, temptations, pressures, but he said, none of these things move me. And if we will have the same attitude and the same heart, we can come out on top as that new creation being recreated after Christ to live in righteousness and holiness. Because you've let Satan convince you that you're still under his power, you've let him talk you into living as you're spiritually dead, but no longer. Draw the line. Draw the mark. Draw the line in the sand and say, Satan, no more. You come over that line, I'm going to hurt you. In Jesus' name. So today I want you to begin to consider yourself as being alive, not dead. Amen. Begin thinking of yourself as one who already has the life of God instead of somebody who's trying to get it working for them, as an earthly being who's just waiting for a resurrection someday. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to the power of Jesus Christ, the one who got raised from the dead and the one who raised you from the dead. And then you'll find yourself living a whole new kind of life. Praise the Lord. Our victory is in Jesus. Our victory came at the cross when he spoiled the principalities and powers, when he made a public spectacle of them, when he triumphed over them. But when he came out of the grave, he released that victory to us because we became alive with him in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So we're going to take a little break here and just break into small groups. Now, if I can find my notes back, we'll be finishing this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Amen.
Remember we said before that for this purpose, Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. This says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Verse 27, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. That means your deal too. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it's plain that he is accepted who all who put all things under him. Wow. It is plain that he is accepted who put all things under him, in subjection under him. When all things were subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. So we look forward in anticipation for that day when the last enemy, death, is finally destroyed. But until then, just remember, you've been raised with Christ. You have a new life in Christ. You have health and peace and joy in Him. Your worth lies in Him, not in some other identity. And so He'll take you through every day with victory if you let Him. But today, we just need to consider ourselves alive. Begin thinking of ourselves as one who's already has the life of God flowing in them. Because when we forget about that, then it's all about us. But when we remember it's His life flowing in us and to us and through us to others, then we have victory. Not merely an earthly being who's waiting for the resurrection. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to the power of Jesus, and you'll find yourself living a whole new kind of life today. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for each of these who have come today to worship you, the risen Jesus, the one who's alive. Father, the prophets, all the great prophets of the other religions, they died and they put them in a grave, and their bones are still there till today. But in that tomb that you came out of, it's empty. It's empty for the rest of eternity. Because you're alive, and you'll never go back to the cross again, and you'll never go back to the grave again, but you're alive forevermore. So let that resurrection life flow in us every day. Let that resurrection power flow through us every day to touch the lives of others. Let the person of Jesus Christ be preeminent inside of us, in our lives, shining through us, Lord, as we become the light of the world. That same kind of light that you brought when men were in darkness. And we thank you, Father God, for your word sustaining us, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through you, God, to demolish strongholds. That your word is not returning empty to us, but it's accomplishing what you please. It's prospering where you sent it. And Father, that no weapon formed against us can ever prosper because our righteousness is of you. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price to make us the righteousness of God through your death, through your resurrection, and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for raising us up to live a new kind of life, a life of faith and a life of destiny here for the rest of our days until you return or until you take us home. Thank you, Jesus, that you made a way where there wasn't any way. That you gave your life so that we could live. And that you came to life again to prove that the resurrection is true. Thank you, Jesus, that you were raised from the dead. We glorify you and honor you and praise you and worship you. King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who's coming back soon. Thanks, Lord, for everything you did for us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.